Well, greetings from Chicago, where God lives. He's here too. He's here too. Amen. You saw me kind of limping a little bit. I'm believing for healing for my knee. I was out on a tennis court, and wow, something happened, and I'm going to receive healing. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift our hand to the Lord. Father, we come before you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the leadership that you've raised up here. Thank you for the anointing that's on this house. Thank you for the privilege of preaching, teaching, healing, demonstrating your power. Father, we come before you. I pray the anointing of God now be upon me in these lips of clay, that I speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Now we give you the praise, not only for the word, but for signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the word preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. Take your seats, please. Flow. Praise God. All right. Y'all messing with me now. All right. Who said that? Who is it? Come on up here. I got a $100 bill for you. Praise God. Somebody say flow.
Flow.
Glory to God. Hey, yeah, no, I already did it. Lord bless you, you know. To the Bishop, First Lady Tanya, thank you. You know, again, and it's been a while since I've been with you. You know, I'm just, this is wonderful. You know, this is God. Isn't this God? We are in Mississippi. Amen. Okay. God's people are something else. You know that. All right. We're going to get into the word tonight. A lot of things are happening here today. I'm going to just talk a little bit and give him a chance to tune up that mic because it's got a little bit too much ring in it. A lot of things are happening, and and I don't want you to take your eye off Jesus. And I'm sure, you know, most of you heard the news and what happened to the shooting. But I'm going to give you something tonight to stand on. Because there is a way that no matter what happens, it won't come nigh you. See, we got to go back to the word. The Bible says, and I believe it's in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, if I'm correct. But he says here about, he says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he had time. That's why you see some of this activity today. And the enemy will work with people over a while and so forth, and his idea is to, first of all, bring terror or fear to the church. See, that if you'll see, can y'all give me a minute here? Let's just look at this just for a minute. In Joshua chapter 1, just go over there with me. I just want to show you this. See, because I don't want you to listen at that news and get and let something come into your spirit that's not supposed to come in. In Joshua chapter 1, I like this. I got a little stand here that I can stand on. You'll be real tall, you know. Well, I've gone places and I said, man, the podium be up here. I said, man, what's wrong with y'all? And it says here, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from this wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, underline the land of the Hittites, because that's very key. And any man be a great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not what? Fail you, nor what? Forsake you. Then he says, be strong and of good courage. The interesting thing about this is that this word Hittite, this literally means sons of terror. It means fear. And this is one of the ites that were going to be confronting Israel as Israel was going in to possess their inheritance. So one of them is going to be the spirit of fear. Hold on just a minute. Let me just set my clock here. Always got to set your clock because, you know, when you preach too long, they don't want you back, you know. And preach, all right. But it's interesting. This is the only ite that was mentioned to Joshua because I think that's the first thing Satan uses to try to paralyze you from moving forward. He uses the spirit of fear. And if you look back at Deuteronomy, I'm not preaching now, I'm just warming up. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, he said, when the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you go into possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Parasites. No, that's not in there. Even seven nations greater and mightier than you. So he lets you know right there. He's about to take you into a fight you can't win without God. But you see the first one that's mentioned is Hittite. There's a revelation in that. So it's really to do with spirits of terror or terrorism is he's really not just after the public, he's after the church. But notice when these spirits rise up. These spirits rise up at the same time God is sending forth a Joshua generation. Isn't that powerful? So you are it. I'm talking about you're the one that he's been waiting for. So fear not. Say fear not. No matter what it looks like, fear not. Don't let fear come in, not one iota. You feel like you're getting the fear. You say, nope, spirit of fear, get out of here. Okay, because he's trying to affect your destiny. All right, let's go over to it. And you were talking about it today, faith to faith. Let's go over to let's go over to Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, I don't have 10 minutes for you to find Habakkuk, so just go to the table of contents and figure it out and come on back. You all right, you still saved. Okay. All right, look what he says here in verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live what?
By faith.
It didn't say by faith.
By faith.
What did it say?
By
his faith. The just shall live by his faith. So it's kind of interesting, this idea of faith. Around and travel and go to different places and see different ministries and so forth. It's almost like faith is a missing ingredient. Sometimes they substitute faith for, you know, how many songs they can sing, and substitute faith for some entertainment, and substitute faith for this. But there is no substitute for faith. Nothing can substitute faith. And faith, many times, it's what I call the missing ingredient. It's a missing ingredient. I don't know whether you've ever tasted a pie and you say, something is missing out of this. You know, well, you can go into a church and you can sense when something is missing. And usually it's this idea of faith. Now, what I want you to understand is that where God is leading you can only be accessed by faith. That's very important. That's your tweet. Where God is leading you can only be accessed by faith. If you just start right there, you're in good shape. Where God is leading you can only be accessed by faith. So you're going to have to get your faith together. It's going to have to be the main ingredient. And so as we talk about this tonight, I'm glad you have a faith meeting, faith conference, or have a faith theme. Because I think that's one of the main things that needs to happen in the body of Christ, is that we need somehow to develop our faith. There are three stages to possessing something. First, that you have to enter in. And that's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house unless he first bind the strong man. Then he'll spoil his goods. So you got to enter in. Next, in terms of taking possession, you've got to conquer. You've got to conquer, and that is that you've got to tread down. You've got to get them, to that devil, to submit. And then the next thing you have to do is you have to possess. Now, possess is more than just taking ownership of. It means to control from the inside, to control from the inside. And so what God wants for his people, basically, is that we've been sent here to take back the earth that had been given over to the devil. And sometimes people say, you know, God has everything under control. Well, if he does, he sure got it in a mess. He doesn't have everything under control. God is not running the world. God is running the church. The church is running the world. So what we see happening, heaven already said, that whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, come on, shall be bound in heaven. So heaven is waiting on you. The authority for binding and loosing comes from the earth. So when people are getting away with things, they're getting away with things because of the church. Somehow the church has gone to sleep on a job. And I think it's more than gone to sleep. The church has been invaded with unbelief. And if you look at that, that's what he said. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. And over in Hebrews chapter 4, gives us a real good picture. It says, verse 1, let us therefore fear, and that fear means with reverent respect, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not, they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from when? The foundation of the world. Now, it's kind of interesting here. He said the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And basically, works are what faith does. Faith, if the works are not finished, then your faith can't access it. It can't make it come to pass. In other words, the only thing that faith can do is faith reaches up into the world of a finished work, which is invisible, and brings it back into your life. And that's what faith is. So as you develop faith, God never intended for you to live without faith. So you and I, as the body of Christ, should be living much beyond the world. We should be so distinguished. I mean, people should see us and say, "Wow, that's a believer right there." And the Bible talks about that. All right, let's get into this thing. Let's see what the Lord is talking about. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, please. Over in Mark chapter 4, here's Jesus, and Jesus is talking to his disciples now. He's busy teaching them, and verse 35 says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side." Now, this is very interesting here about this. Let us pass over to the other side. This "let us pass over to the other side" is not just a whim. Not Jesus just didn't, you know, this didn't come just by Jesus didn't have anything to do. He said, "Well, let's go over there." No, it's the Father's will to lead them to the other side. But like I told you, where God is leading you, that faith is not an option. Faith is mandatory. And you are going from faith to faith. Say, "I'm going from faith to faith." All right, so here, Jesus is going over to the other side. Now, I can guarantee you, Jesus knew that storm was coming. I can guarantee you. How do I know that? Because of John chapter 16 and verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So one of the reasons you have the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost is going to warn you about things to come. Isn't that something? So in verse 36, saying how he said, "Let us go over to the other side." So now the Bible says in verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships." Now, that's kind of an apostolic arrangement. If you know anything about battleships, you know that there's a one ship in the front, and then there's another bringing up the rear admiral, whatever it is. But it has other ships, the battleships, and they're going into another land. Now, why are they going into another land? In this particular case, they're going in to colonize another group of people. They're going in to convert people from the world system to the word system. They're going in to bring the kingdom of God everywhere they're sent. In other words, they're going to turn it into heaven's government. And that's what they're doing. Think about the Roman soldiers. That's what they did. They occupied. And when they occupied, what they did is they superimposed their government over the government that was existing in that place. The same thing about you. Wherever you go, the devil should know that you're coming. He should know that you're there and that you could actually speak into the atmosphere and shift atmospheres, and things in that workplace will start shifting. Say amen to that. That's that kingly anointing that you have on your life. So look at verse 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full." Now this is kind of an interesting thing, because just don't imagine waves coming into a ship that the waves were high. What you have to see is that this symbolized and was kind of a metaphor, if you will, for Satan beating against the mind. And that's what he does. He beats against the mind. You see, Satan drives people. God leads people. That goes. And Satan, because when you try to get rid of it, it won't go. Try to get rid of the Holy Ghost and see if he'll go. He is out. He is gone. Huh? This thought I'm going to get sick. Thought I'm going to mess up. Thought the hammer. Now, what is you trying to affect? Your destiny. He knows God has a place for you at the top. And he knows that if he lets you go and get there, you're going to go from one rung of the ladder to the next rung. We're going from faith to what?
Faith.
And so now he's coming against us. Now, the Bible talks about that over in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this. He says, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty what? Through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds and casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. And you got to do that. God's not going to do that for you. Because he'll tell you, Satan always comes with two. He comes in pairs. He comes with a symptom and a suggestion. So he hits you, boom, something inside your chest. Next thing he tells you, you got a heart attack. Now, what he's waiting on you is for you to say it. Because death and life comes in the power of the tongue, not in the power of Satan. It's in the power of the tongue. So what he's going to tell you? Your money's going to be short this month. You're not going to have enough. Now, notice what happens with Christians who don't know any better. No, I'm not going to give you any money. I'm going to be short of money now. And so once you say that, it's like Satan knocking on the door with a box of black snakes. And you open the door and say, come on in, praise God. No. Imagination. He plays with it. Why? Because you're the one that can project. You can project. Dogs can't. You can project. You're made like the Father. You can project into the future. Now, what does he do also? Tries to make Christians think of the worst that can happen. Well, don't think of the worst that can happen. Think of the best that can happen. Hey, God, boy, the best that could happen is when I get to the other side, I'm going to have a pot of gold. Ed McMahon's going to meet me right there on the shoreline. Praise God. All right. Now, my point to you is, notice people don't think of good stuff. They think the worst because we've been trained in the system that's the way it kept us in prison. It kept us thinking the worst things could happen. And so fear was controlling our lives. Say amen. But things are different for you from now on. This is the thing of your deliverance. This is the day that you're going to think on these things. Lord have mercy. And you'll find those over in Philippians. And Philippians chapter 4. Praise God. And he says this. Finally, my brother, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, it is not true you're going broke. It's true that you're going to be increasing more and more. That's true. That's what's written in the Bible. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue or if there be any praise, what are you going to think on? So you're going to have to manage your mind starting right now because God is about to take you into a battle you can't win. Lord have mercy. God's about to take you into a piece of property you can't afford. Get ready. Come on back over to Mark's gospel. A friend of mine said, hey, let me tell you. He said, I went to stay with this man He said, for 10 days, didn't I stand with him for 10 days? I said, yeah. He said, a real wealthy man. I said, yeah. He said, wanted me to do some things for him. I said, yeah. He said, guess what? He said, this man had a garage with his cars in it. He said, just guess how many cars he had. I said, okay, 10. He said, how about 62? He sent me a picture. It's a man's garage. And you're trying to keep one car with some gas in it. Listen, I'm not talking down on anybody. I'm saying you need to manage your mind because your mind is not thinking where he's thinking. He said, your thoughts are what? Not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. So you got to think big. Say amen to that. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with thinking big. Amen. The prayer of Jabez, found over in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and starting at verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Glory to God. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The word Jabez means pain. How would you like somebody to call, hey, pain, come over here. And look at verse 10. And called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from what? Evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, what did Jabez ask for? Not more money. He didn't ask for more money, greater wealth, greater, more property. What he asked God for is to increase his capacity regarding his own worth. And that he asked God to give him a greater capacity for conceiving what he might accomplish on God's behalf. I said he asked God to give him a greater capacity for conceiving what he might accomplish on God's behalf. And I'm here to tell you right now that the enemy tries to affect our thinking so that we can't conceive the big things of God. I said the big things of God. Folks, according to the scripture, he said over in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. That means if you think like a millionaire, your system has no choice but to produce it. I hope this is the right bunch. Okay, all right. Very enthusiastic. All right, look what it says. Look at verse 8. See, what I start doing when I start out, if I just start preaching up here, snotting all over the place, everybody, you could go. But when I'm taking you further, I'm taking you to another level of faith. You should be just as excited because the prophet's job, number one, is you, and nothing to say. See, you put it in your mouth, what I've spoken to you, and it will produce for you just like it produced for me. God is no respecter of persons. That's what he said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. But he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. What that means is has the same access to his blessing. Folks, I was in Africa, South Africa, and one of the sisters, dear sister, who had been just feeding off my tapes, wanted to pick me up, showed me the newspaper where she sold one of the biggest piece of properties in real estate that's been sold over there. I don't know, a house worth about $50 million. And she sold this house, and she picked us up in a Rolls Royce, took her to her house. Now, on the way to the house, she was preaching while she was driving, and just preaching my stuff, I mean preaching, to the point that we pulled up at the red light and somebody came in the window and knocked at the window to try to get some money, and she just preached to him. I mean, just preaching by it. Then drove on off, praise God. Took us to our house, huge, I mean, table, dining room table, sits about 20. I'm just saying, the point of it is she didn't change anything. What she did is took exactly what's working for me and put it in her mouth, and it worked for her. Because the word don't respect nobody. It respects faith. Say amen to that. I'm not trying to push my stuff. I'm trying to push the word of God. See, but somewhere in that journey from one side of this thing to another, they let the word of God slip from their mouth. Look what it says in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter in scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 35, this is a very important scripture. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. The word patience there in translation is endurance. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You might receive the promise. Now, what is he saying? He is saying, wait a minute now. Between the time that God tells you something and the time that it manifests, you're going to have to exercise endurance. Why? Because there's an enemy coming after your mind. Because he knows when you get to the other side, somebody is going to be blessed. Am I right about it? Now, don't look at yourself and say, well, I just got a high school diploma and so on. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Because God took a man named Gideon, who was the stupidest among the bunch. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here, but... And if I don't call your name, you don't have to get sick. But he touched his mind. Come on now. And he was able to lead all of Israel. I'm telling you, you can go to sleep dumb and wake up smart. And I'm telling you, because you're serving a God that is able to do anything. Hey! Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Somebody gonna get blessed tonight. I feel somebody gonna receive this thing. See, God didn't tell you, he never in his Bible does he say get rid of something. He said as many as received him, to them he became the sons of God. I'm telling you, if you receive wealth, poverty will leave. If you receive health, sickness will go. So he's not telling you to get rid of something, he's telling you to receive. Praise God. Say amen. The problem is with the receiver, not with the giver. Not with the giver. We flew here in our own airplane. Now, I'm not saying anything against anybody, but I'm done with public transportation. Now, listen. Now, you're looking at, see, I felt some hate. See, you know why you hating? You know why you hating? You, I'm going to call you out. Somebody would hate only because they don't think there's enough for them. You got to believe God. Folks, you can see I got to believe God for my healing just like you got to believe God for you. In the kingdom is the only place that a janitor can have a jet. Oh, I see y'all working with me now. Well, what would he want with a jet? You don't know what he does on his weekends. Now, what I'm saying, folks, there's plenty. Watch this. Even if there wasn't enough, God would make some more. There's no scarcity. The scarcity is manufactured by Babylon. And it's manufactured to make you think a certain way, so you respond a certain way. And if you respond anyway outside of faith, you're still in bondage. Isn't this good? So you got to think right. And you got to speak right. So between the time you receive the promise in the spirit, see, everything that God gives you has to first be received as a faith fact. Then, as you move further, it then starts to materialize as a physical fact. Got it? Now, for you to get the things of God, you're going to have to stay in faith. Look at Romans chapter 4. This is the end game of what God wants you to have and how God wants you to be. Look what he says in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but definition of faith. Now here I have another definition, another translation here. Here's what it says. It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise. Now, wait a minute. How much of the earth was he going to give to Abraham? Who are you? Seed. Say seed. Say seed. I'm the seed of Abraham. Whatever he promised Abraham is mine as well. Isn't that wonderful? The church should be the biggest landowners in every city. Now, if you think you got to earn it, then you back down in the flesh. It has to come by faith. Our first real house, my wife and I, we've been married now over 32 years. And our first house, we were both with IBM in Minneapolis. And we married, and I had an apartment. I said, "Babe, let's get us a house." She said, "Yes, sweetheart." And so what happened? We went out with the realtor. We went out and looked around with the realtor for 3 days. It was a Christian realtor, and he showed us different houses. And after that third day, we came back home. It was about nighttime, and we kind of sat around a little bit. And I said, "Look, maybe the Lord is asking me to ask you, which one of those houses do you like? Watch this." She said, "You mean which one can we afford?" Afford means I got to work for it. See, you got to get this. You got to get this. When the prodigal son came back home to his dad, he said, "Dad, I have sinned against heaven, and before you, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants." Watch this. His dad didn't even pay attention to that. He said, "Bring the best robe, not the one on sale. Bring the best robe and put it on." Nothing wrong with a sale, but bring the best robe and put it on. Put shoes on his feet and ring on his finger. My son was lost. He's found. He's dead. He's alive again. Watch this. Now the elder brother was in the field working for it. There's nothing wrong with work, but the first reason why you work is because there's a gift in you. And gifts don't come forth without labor. You got a baby in that oven, and that baby does not come out without a woman going through what? Labor. You have a gift, and when that gift comes out and hits the marketplace, your work becomes worship. Got it? So that's one of the key reasons why you work. You're not working for a living. That's done. Your living has been provided before the foundation of the world. All right, let me read another one, 17, verse 17 there. Are y'all getting some out of this? All right, this is found in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. All right? Okay. So God's blessings are given to us by faith. Oh, no. Pardon me. Let me read it out of the translation, out of the King James verse. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Now, give me permission to read that to you out of the Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. Let me start again. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. If you work for it, he can't give it to you. You got to see this, folks. You got this. Remember, living in the kingdom is almost a complete mental reversal of living in the world. Living in the world People work hard for 40 years, and at the end of 40 years, get a $15 Timex watch, and they say bye-bye. Not so in the kingdom. Whatever you get has already been worked for. Do you get up in the morning and go to work? By all means. Don't work, don't eat. You start violating God's commands, and you'll find this doesn't work for you. God wants you to work. You should be a stellar employee. You should be there on time, punching on time, lunch on time. Come on now. They should be able to look at you and see what God is like. This business about sleeping late, being late for work, CP time, you know, so forth and so on, all that stuff, that is junk. Remember this, if you cannot manage time, you cannot manage money. They're linked together. All right, so let's go back over to Mark again, Mark chapter 4. Are you with me so far? How we doing? We doing okay? He said in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to drown? Now that sounds like somebody accusing somebody up here to me. I understand they've been traveling with Jesus. Travel with family. Everything. Their food, clothing, everything. Housing, everything. Some of them travel with families. And he's taking care of them. All of a sudden, they're going to turn on him. See, that's why you got to watch it as a preacher. Preaching from motivation. Because you'll find that if you get up there every morning, every Sunday and try to motivate somebody, when you stop, they're going to hate you. But if you get up there preaching inspiration, and preaching the word of God and let the word of God be their motivation, you'll find they'll love you and they'll continue to grow. Say amen to that. Amen. So, notice, careth thou not that we perish? Now, it's interesting how the scriptures work. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith worketh by love. Remember what I said, where God is leading you, you can only access it by faith. Where God is taking you from this point right now, from today, from this moment right now, 9-11 at night, on October the 7th, where you're about to go, you're going to have to go by faith. Now, watch it, because now they're trying to mix feelings with faith. And you can't mix it. Are you following what I'm saying? Satan's strategy is to pull you out of faith into human logic or reason or feelings. And once he does, he's the boss because you are in his world. Say amen. The world that God is leading you into, feelings are off limits. Well, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. It's off limits. Well, the pastor hurt my feelings. Well, get your feelings. Come on, brace up, man up, get strong. Because if it took just that to hurt your feeling, wait till the devil come at you. And tell you that your hair look a mess. And that weave don't fit. Okay, now let's look at this. Let's look at, don't get mad now. You get mad, so you get, then your boat gonna sink. Okay? All right, now. I don't mean to say some of these things. They just come out. And I can't say thus saith the Lord. I can't say that. Back to you. Okay, I'm still working on something. All right, but this is key. Because I want you to look now at Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 11. And over in Mark chapter 11, he says this, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, why did he say that? He said that because he had cursed a fig tree. And that night he spoke to it. Say, spoke to it. So your problems, you can speak to them. Okay, and the Bible says the next day they came by and they saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. Say roots.
Roots.
Say roots.
Roots.
All right. All right. Here's a tweet I want to give you. That physical things are depending on spiritual things for their existence. I'll say it one more time. That every physical thing depends on a spiritual thing for its existence. If you cut it off in the spirit, whether it be lack or cancer, it cannot grow in the natural. And the thing that can go to the spirit is the word of faith. He sent his word, come on, and it healed them. And it won't come back void. It's more powerful than anything in the earth. That's why he said, words, let there be light. And when he said that, light began to manifest and is still expanding at the speed of light. This is a word-ruled planet. So if God can bring you back into right words, because I'm talking about you believe what you say. Because most people don't believe what I say. Girl, you make me sick. Now, you didn't believe that. Oh, I'm just dying to go. Dying? Where did that come from? You follow what I'm saying? So notice, you're saying stuff with your mouth that your heart don't believe. So what happens? You have a confused heart. Now, when it comes time to say, I believe that I've received that, all of a sudden it's not working. Well, you've pumped the wrong thing in your heart. So now get back over onto the word side. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Hey, glory to God. All right, look what it said in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, who said this? Who said this? Jesus. How do you know it's Jesus? It's in the red. All right, praise God. Y'all been taught well, Pastor. This is you. You've been working on them, praise God. All right, look what he said next. You can tell my spiritual sons and daughters, boy, I'm telling you, they got my stuff down. Man. They didn't preach this stuff. I come here, y'all don't hear nothing new. All right, I'm gonna have to go. All right, look what he said in verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. Now that sounds like a blank check to me. Whatsoever. Here's Moffat's translation. Faith. Oh no. I don't want to give you that. That's for Hebrews 11:1. I'll leave that right now. But anyway, notice what there is in 24. No feelings. No feelings. Now that's exactly like 1 John and chapter 5, where he says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desired of him. Both of these are petition prayer. So my point to you is no feelings in here. So the world of the spirit is off limits to feelings. And the trick of the enemy is trying to get you to, y'all feel that? No, that's a devil trying to get out, man. Let the devil out. But you don't need to feel it. This man came in this church one time. He said, I need some prayer. The deacons were standing around. They said, okay, Deacon Jones will pray for you. I don't want Deacon Jones to pray for him. Let Deacon Brown pray for me. They said, well, why not Deacon Jones? And Deacon Brown got some strong prayer. Well, Deacon Brown didn't pray strong. He just prayed loud. Come on now. I've seen people get healed with this. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Wow, we're trying to put feelings in faith. And when you do, you start negating it. So, Come on back to Mark, chapter 11. And then he says in verse 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive." Their mercy. Now, faith works how? By love. God said, Jesus was teaching over in Luke's gospel and chapter 17, and he says, "It is impossible but that offenses will come." So, if I'm going to the other side, I know that I'm going to have an opportunity to be offended. And if you get suckered into it, forget your travel. Forgiveness for you is not an option. Come on, you got to forgive him. "Well, she making eyes at my husband." Forgive the lady and pray for her. Come on now. I'm only saying, you watch, because you're going to have an opportunity. I'm here to tell you, I'm prophesying. Before you get to the top, you will have an opportunity to be offended. Guaranteed, it's not going to come from somebody way out there that you don't know and so forth. It's going to come from girlfriend. It's going to come from so forth. And I'm saying people will let you down, but you have to keep your eye on the prize. You've got to keep your eye on what God has promised you. Watch this, because nobody can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. Isn't this good news? Nobody. God's destiny for you is healing. Nobody can. Destiny for you is, God's destiny for you is to be rich. Nobody can stop it. God's destiny for you is to be an owner. Nobody can stop it. Now you stop getting so mad all the time and poking your lip all out and looking all ugly. God didn't make you to look like that. This is your time for God to have you shine. The Bible says that you and I are let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He said he set you high above all principalities and power. Everybody at your job ought to be looking up to you. Can I have just a few more minutes? Folks, receive what I say and do what I do. And what it did for me, it will do for you. Amen. All right, let's see, can we wrap this thing up? Mark chapter 4 again. Come on back. Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right, now, here's the thing about... either you trust him totally, or he takes his hands off your affairs. Got it? Faith demands that not only God be your source, but be your only source. Are you with me? So every alternative of God will keep you stranded. He'll wait like he waited on Abraham. In fact, he waited till Abraham couldn't have sex to give him a baby. Now, I know you don't want to go there. Well, I know you don't want to go there. No, but am I right about it? He came with a woman who had never had children and a man who had gotten beyond his ability to have sex and say, you two are going to have a child going to come from your own loins. Don't tell me what God can't do. But the thing of it is, we're used to doing it ourselves. He said to me, he said, pay off that jet. Now, at that time, we were leasing it. He said, pay it off. I said, Lord, it's 2 weeks before, two months before Christmas. People saving money. He said, I know that. He said, here's what you do. Follow my instructions. Make an envelope. Make it blue. Then put on the front of the envelope, God gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater, and multiplies the seed sown. He said, then take them to 1 Samuel chapter 14 and show them that God will deliver by many or by few. And then take him over to Esther and show him where Esther's uncle came and told her, Esther, if you don't go before the king, God will deliver us some other way. Tell them if they don't want to participate, don't poke their lip out, just don't participate. But those who take an envelope, I will fill it up. Tell them they don't have to go to their savings or take their children's bed money. What you do is tell them that put that envelope there, believe they've received it with Mark 11:24, and thank me every day for it, and I'll fill it up. People came to me. It's when we start. That time, the man wanted $5 million for it. What happened is when we start raising money, next thing you know, as we got a little bit into the thing, understand, now this is a couple of months you're talking about you got to do this in. And I said, now this, aside from all the other expenses in the church, people took the envelopes and God started filling them envelopes up. People started coming to me crying. Oh, Pastor, I didn't know God loved me this much. I said, yeah, he sure does. I said, but here's the deal. We cannot build the temple of God on our earnings. He really wants, and I understand a sacrifice seat. I understand that, and God has that in his agenda. My point to you is that God can supply all our need. Say amen to that. And he can fill up an envelope supernaturally for you, and you'll wonder how in the world he did that. So next thing you know, the man called the church, and my CFO answered the phone. She said, yes. And the man's assistant says, hey, the boss man want to know, can you go ahead and buy that jet now? And she said, well, I'm not sure. He said, I'd have to ask the pastor. He said, what kind of money you got right now? I can take something back to the boss man. I said, she said, I don't know. Let me check the pastor. I'll call you right back. She came and told me, said, Pastor, they want to know buy that jet. What can you buy it for right now? I said, Holy Ghost, what can we buy it for right now? See, you don't do it on your own. This is not your deal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures. He what? Leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the past. You got to be led by God. He doesn't drive you. He leads you. And you listen to his voice. He'll tell you how to do every situation and everything you ever come into. He said, give him $1.5 million. I said, huh? Give him $1.5 million. She went, called a guy back, said, tell your boss man, my pastor said, give him $1.5 million right now. Said, no, give him $1.5 million. He said, $1.5 million? He said, no, I can't tell the boss man that. He said, well, you better tell him the pastor said $1.5 million. That's all he's got. Well, okay, let me see what the boss man said. Go back. Came back and called her back in 15 minutes. The boss man said, if you can give it to him in 3 days. Boom! Title deed. Now, wait a minute. Now he's asking me to believe for something bigger. Why? Because we're going from faith to faith. He's not going to be done with you until you fulfill Romans chapter 4, verses 13 and 16. You got to take back the world. The whole world, you got to take it back. So, How are we doing? We're doing okay? Yes. All right. So let's just finish Mark chapter 4. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. All right, notice what he rebuked first. What did he rebuke? The what?
Wind.
The wind. Can you see wind?
No.
The point to you is, notice he rebuked the invisible first. Because it was causing the waves. Say amen. So you are the only one, the church, that can get up in the invisible world and take care of business. Handle your business, girl. All right. Now, verse 40. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Wow. No faith. Zero. I can tell you one thing that can steal your faith. Take it right out. Now why? 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 You see what they're doing to me? Now watch this. Now, I understand that, and I have great empathy for you. But when they tried to complain in the wilderness, they ended up staying in the wilderness. Why? Because to see yourself as a victim is against how God sees you. Watch this. When you become a victim and see yourself a victim. Now watch this. I'm not saying what you went through, so forth and so on, but you can't maintain that mentality and go forward with God. So, are you following what I'm saying? I'm not saying somebody didn't do something to you, so forth and so on. But when a victim, usually the mentality is saying, "God can't help me in this." But when you understand somebody did something to you and you pop back in righteousness. Boy, let me tell you. Let me just finish this because I want to just give you one more thing and I'm going. Are y'all with me?
Well, Lord,
they won't let promote me over there. Those people prejudice over there. Watch this. The Bible, the one of the East, said promotion doesn't come from the East or from the West. That's the Bible I read. Promotion for you comes from God. He said he will pull down one and put up another. That means if your supervisor don't like you, he will take him down and put one up that wants to take you to dinner every day. Because you serve a mighty God. See? But you can't be at home grumbling and talking about them. It said, pray for those who despitefully use you. You got to obey the book, man. If you want to get promoted, you got to walk in love. And love is keeping his commandments. It's not a feeling. Can I continue? I believe y'all getting help tonight. My help cometh from the Lord. So the devil stole all their faith. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And then verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea," come on, help me, "obey him?" Did it obey him or did it obey his faith? I want you to see this. This is my last point. In John chapter 6, here they were, had a good meeting. In Matthew chapter 14, same thing. And then they said, send him away. Well, let me look at Matthew chapter 14. The disciples said, send him away. Let him go get something to eat. Jesus said, they don't need to leave. You feed them. So the preacher's not coming over to your house. You're coming over to the preacher's house. And so what happened as a result of that? It says in verse 16, but Jesus said to them, they need not depart. You feed them. Now, how many of you know there was a lad that had 2 fish and 5 barley loaves? How old do you think the lad was? Just somebody guess. Give me, throw something out. 12. Okay, let's take 12. Now, the lad was listening to the word. And this word Jesus preached is so simple that a child can understand it. When they start using words too big, you got to know some of that didn't come from God. All right. So here's the lad. He gives 2 fish and 5 loaves. Now, you know in yourself, now just put yourself there, that here they are out there in the middle of nowhere, been out there for a couple of days and so forth. That boy is not giving up them cookies. Come on, you better help me. See, he had to have seen something. And he gave his seed, because that's what Jesus was preaching. And when he gave that seed, Jesus took it, blessed it, and now it began to multiply. 2 fish and 5 loaves. 20,000, 30,000 people. Fed them all. Begin to multiply. Now gather up. Now what happened was when they finished, Jesus said, now gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Now he's not talking about some crumbs that fell off somebody's mouth. He's talking about the fish and the loaves that were not touched. Now disciples go out to the gathering because they had no idea that there were 12 baskets. Are you following what I'm saying? So God hides harvest. Not from you. For you. He will never get anything from you that he will not give you back better than you gave him. Because it's against his nature. So what happened? Little boy's faith. Somebody say little boy. The Bible says that you and I, each by being born again, were given the measure of faith. Every one of us. Pastor, you got more faith than I do. The only reason I got more faith than you do is because I've been working out. I have worked my faith. And the more you work it, the bigger and better and more powerful it becomes. So I can do much more. I started out believing God for a bow tie. I started believing God for a parking space downtown Chicago. But now I'm believing God for jets, for shopping malls, so forth and so on. Because the more faith you have, the more you can do in the spirit realm, which translates into the natural. Say amen. But like the woman who cried to the prophet, said, my children are about to be taken and put in bondage, the prophet said to her, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have anything in the house save a pot of oil. He said, that's enough. Go out and borrow some vessels, you and your kids, and come back with you and your kids and shut the door. In other words, if they're born, kids, go play. Why?
Because if they're born again, they got just as much faith as you do. And it's not your strength that does it. It's your faith that'll carry it out. Your faith moves the ability of God. No matter how old you are, how young you are. So that kid comes into you and says, "Dad, I want a new bike." You got a picture of it? Now that's different from saying, "Son, money don't grow on trees." You got a picture of it? "Yeah, Daddy. Go get it." "Okay, all right. Now, is this the best one they got?" "Yes, sir." "All right. Well, you can get it. Now, you know what to do." "Yes, sir, I know what to do." You go right in that toy box, pull out that Nintendo game you bought last week. Pull out that game. Go give it away. Why? He knows sowing and reaping. He said, "Well, watch this. When he pull it out, go clean out the garage because that bike is on its way." Folks, you didn't go to that job so that you can live off what they paid you. Matter of fact, some of you are better off without a paycheck. You went to that job because that job is going to give you some seed that when you plant that seed, God's going to bring in a harvest that will have you live much beyond what you ever lived in your life. Now you give God praise because your bike is on the way. Your car is on the way. Your new house is on the way. My wife and I went to look at that house. She said, "I like that big prayer God spoke with that circular driveway." I said, "Let's pray. Let's see what God got to say." We got down to pray. God spoke to me and said, "Take your wife right now. Go over to the house. Point at it and tell it to sell to you." I said, "Whoa." So get ready for some foolish thoughts. And so what happened? I got her. She said, "All right." Went over there to the house in that neighborhood that us don't go in that time of night. But that's all right, because my Father owns it all. And praise God, if he has it, I have it too. House, we're talking to you in the name of Jesus. Sell to us now in Jesus' name. Boom. Put our finger back in our pocket, drove off, came next day or so. My boss called me, "Hey, Bill, we got a contest for managers." I said, "What is it? What do you get?" He said, "About $10,000. I said, "No." He said, "I got good news for you." I said, "What's that?" "You won." Hey, here come money. Say, "Money coming." Come on, say, "Money coming." Say, "Money coming to me now." Now give God praise. Woo! Now, here's what I want to do. I want to receive an offering. Amen. Bless you, sister. I want to receive an offering. Now, we're taking up an offering for the meeting. I want to receive an offering. Now, here's what I want you to do. Ain't nobody forcing you to do nothing. God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. What you've heard tonight, sow into it. You sow into it and make the transfer. Got it? Take your seats. Prepare your tithes and offering. Give me some offering music. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Did you get something out of that? Now, listen, get the teaching, get the CD, get the DVD, whatever you get it, because you come do this one time. I've got CDs right now. I've listened to it at least 25 times between track 4 and track 9 over and over, over and over. Every time I'm still getting revelation. Why? It's paying off for me, because what you need is the word. The word will produce what you want. Praise God. Boy, I'm preaching hard tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Hey. Thank you.
church triumphant global, and we rejoice and thank God. Hallelujah. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand right now. Glory to God. We're so excited for you, for this opportunity, the privilege to be able to sow into this ground. Amen. This good ground called the Church Triumphant Global. We are so excited, glory to God, that the spiritual grandfather of this house, amen, hallelujah, is here with us tonight. How many of you were blessed by the word on tonight? Glory to God, hallelujah. Then lift your hands up high. The greeters and stewards will serve you right now, hallelujah, and release an envelope to you. As you sow your seed, this is good ground that you're sowing into. Amen. Hallelujah. The revelation that came forth on tonight, hallelujah, is life changing. Hallelujah. Many of you heard Pastor Tanya's testimony earlier about how her life has been dramatically and radically enriched and changed for the better. Amen. As a result of the teachings of the spiritual grandfather of this house. Hallelujah. Our beloved Dr. Bill Winston. And now we are just so honored and so thankful. Hallelujah, that you get to share in this wonderful blessing. Hallelujah, the rich soil that we know, hallelujah, has been planted here in the greater Jackson area on tonight. So lift your hands again. Hallelujah, for those of you who are still waiting to be served, keep your hands up so that our greeters and stewards will be able to see you and identify you, and they will serve you gladly. Amen. Because as Dr. Winston said, God loves a cheerful giver, and so do we here at the Church Triumphant Global. We're so thankful you're here with us tonight, and we're so honored that you chose, hallelujah, to spend this night with us. We welcome you to come time and time and time again. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I see more hands. And for those of you who already have your envelopes, please declare what you're believing God for. Hallelujah. As Dr. Winston said on tonight, whether you're believing for that house or that car, or you're believing for a change in your seed, in your season, or in the life of your children, your sons and your daughters. Glory to God. Your mothers and your fathers even. Just stand and believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I still see more hands. I see some more hands in the back. Hallelujah. Now we give it back to Dr. Winston.
Yeah, I have. Now, that you find thoughts coming into your mind that you're going to run out, that's a demonic thought. You're never going to run out. The one thing you want to do when you're down to your last is sow it. Don't eat it. Sow it. Folks, I came to Chicago with $200, no place to stay. And a dear sister took me and my family in. $200. Look at me now. Watch this. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. See, when God tells you to go somewhere, He never checks your bank account. Because all you need is seed. Are y'all with me? Somebody said, well, I can't afford to give. Honey, let me tell you, I remember a guy who couldn't afford to give. We were in the back. This is when I first got saved. We got turned on to these principles. He said, they were taking up the offering just like now. So he was way in the back with me, a big auditorium. So what did he do? He took his shoes off. Now, don't nobody do that here, because this is you hearing me. Today. He took his shoes off and brought them to the front and put them on the stage, just like this. Well, everybody took the offering up, and the person on the stage is Charles and Francis Hunter. The person on the stage says, whose shoes are these? Nobody said anything. They said, whose shoes are these? I said, man, they're talking to you. They're mine. Way in the back. Come up here and get these shoes. So he stocking feet, going up to get the shoes. By the time he got there, they had taken money out of the buckets and stuffed them in those shoes.
You are never left without seed. Ever. Ever. Now get used to sowing and reaping. And when you broke, that's the time to sow. Let it go. And watch God break the power of poverty and lack over your life. Now don't try to get this from your neighbor, because your neighbor may be stupid. Let him be any word I'm talking about tonight. The Bible says, if he's stupid, let him be stupid still. No, it don't say that. It says, if he be ignorant or something, let him be ignorant still. But the thing about it, you'll find it's hard to bring somebody out sometimes who are determined to stay where they are. Folks, I got people now. I remember this guy called me. He said, hey, he's a guy who grew up with me. He said, hey, I heard you're going to get an airplane. That's what he told me. I said, yeah. He said, well, what kind are you going to get? I said, a Gulfstream. A Gulfstream? You're going to get an airplane and I'm looking for a job? Now, what am I supposed to do? Oh, I don't want no airplane, Lord. I just take my airplane. No, this guy was one of the most talented guitar players. When we had people to come through where we went to the West Montgomery's and Kenny Burrell's, this guy would sit in with them, the Cannonball Adderley's. He'd sit in with them. He was so talented, but he never left that small town. Never left. He was fearful. And if you want to increase, you got to get rid of that fear. Let it go. Leave that place you're at. Wave it goodbye. God's moving you to another level of faith. You got it ready?